You know, I'm sure, you know, as you guys have the blessing of hearing Pastor John, I could listen to his voice like all day. I mean, it just, it makes me have peace. And thank you. was so blessed by you guys. So blessed to be part of SCAPC, to run with the work in China and all that God is doing there. This house has had tremendous impact in the nations. Thank you. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for being in the Bedford community. So now when I grew up in Hagerstown, Maryland, so go from Pittsburgh to Hagerstown, we always go by Bedford. So now we have some family that we know we can visit. But happy Father's Day to all the dads. Dads, raise your hand. I know there's a lot of dads in here. I saw your kids. and for Father, amen, we have a Father that we celebrate his goodness and who he is on this day. And that's what we really want to do this morning. Because we all share that. We are family. It's not water, it's blood. We are blood connected through him. And that creates such a bond that I believe the church is starting to discover in a deeper way, is that we are not only church members, we are family at the highest level, at the deepest level. And that causes, unity commands the blessing of the Lord. And unity, when our hearts unify with him and with each other, incredible things happen. But God knows how unified we are in here. And that's what he is building in his church. And he's building in us from generation to generation, across races, across cultures, across oceans. There's a deep bond, and that is our Abba Father. Amen. And I've given my life, my passion, our family's passion, what drew us to SCAPC, and so many things that the Lord has been doing, is the heart of the Father message. I will live and die bringing this message to the world, because I encountered Jesus when I was in South Africa about 10 years ago, and I got to see the face of Jesus. I got to encounter the love of my Father in a deeper way than, that's another story, but it transformed my life. It completely wrecked me. It completely opened up my heart. It completely shifted our ministry. I see that. I feel that encounter every day. I wake up, it's like something was sealed and marked upon my eyes. I cannot undo it. I cannot escape it. It's forever in me. And you know, when John said, I ate the scroll, well, I ate that scroll, and I cannot uneat it. And the power of encountering the Father that created us, you cannot remain the same when you meet him and when he fathers you. That is the key. It's not a one-time meeting. It's not a visitation. It's a habitation. We inhabit with the Father. We live in his house. We abide in his house. And his house, praise God, is not made with hands of man, so we cannot leave it. It is eternal. It is seamless. It is boundless. It is everywhere. I remember I asked God, I said, God, you know, it'd be so easy if I could just see you. Anybody else ever said that? If I could just, you know, I know you're there, I'll just walk up and we'll just have a conversation, and I know that you're there, and I know that we can go into this together. It'd be just so easy, God, if I could just see you. And I remember he quickly came back to me in his gentle, strong, loving voice that only he can do, and he said, son, if you could see me, you could leave me. I'll leave that there. Because when the heart realizes that if it's a tangible thing, then I can escape it. But if it's actually transcends the tangible and is all around me, I can constantly abide and receive from it. And that causes transformation in our life. Amen? My wife and I have served, we've been in about 30 nations preaching the gospel, loving people, love the church, love Asia. That's how we connected with SCAPC. We have a lifelong call to Asia, but we love America. And we came back to the States about six and a half years ago, moved into the Monroeville area outside of Pittsburgh, and began to really connect heart to heart with Mark and Matt Geppert and their family, the ministry. It's been a tremendous blessing. It has. We were exhausted, tired missionaries that needed strength, needed refilling, needed refreshing, and God really brought that into our lives. And we're eternally grateful for SEAPC and everything that the Father used and continues to use to transform our lives as a family. And we've added another little one since then, so we have 5 kids. And we go to Asia, there's like, you have 5 kids? I was like, yeah, I have 5 kids. Wow, you must be really rich. Yes, I am. Because in Asia, if you have more than 1 or 2 children, you have to have millions of dollars in their mind. And we are very wealthy, amen? We are wealthy in every kind of way. And so God gave me a quiverful, which I'm eternally grateful for. I didn't know what a quiver was, and I found out it was 5. And so I was like, hallelujah. So I fulfilled that verse. Thank you, Jesus. And my oldest is not here, Victoria. She's 16. I can't believe I have a 16-year-old. And I have a 3-year-old, Judah. And I have 3 amazing kids in between, Peter, Hosanna, and Zion, who are here. And they've taught me more about ministry than anything. And there's nothing like being a father. And to share that, it's the only name that Father shares with people. He doesn't share the name Healer. He doesn't share the name Savior. He does share the word Father. And we gotta, as dads, amen, that's something that God has shared with us that is extremely powerful and special. And we have the joy of reflecting that, or sometimes the consequences of not. And with his power and strength, we can. Only that way can we, because it is a high call. Amen. And so it's great to be here. I want to just share a little bit from John chapter 1 today. This has become one of my favorite passages that I've read many times, not fully understanding what I was reading. Anybody done that with the Bible? And then the power of the Holy Spirit comes, and you get wisdom and revelation into something you didn't see before. And John 1:18 was one of those verses. And I want to just get into that a little bit today. And I believe we're going to have a real powerful time in him. And God's going to do some incredible things. Amen? John 1:18. I remember when I first read the beginning of this verse, I felt, it seems like a very, as you say, discouragement. It seems very hopeless in the beginning. But I didn't see into what it was saying. And then the first part of it says, no man has seen God at any time. All right, here we go. No one has seen God, which doesn't sound very encouraging in itself, but it doesn't stop there. Amen? But the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. In the translation I have here, I just want to read to you, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And I read that, and I read that, and I read that. Oh, that's great. That's great for Jesus. Hallelujah. What about me? Well, I am in Christ. Amen? But I never saw the connection. I never made it go just a little bit further. I am in Christ, but where is Christ? In the Father. So where am I? In the Father. I'm in the Father. I am in his heart. And we'll get into that in a minute. I'm in his heart. And this is so important for us to know, because we always look, how many admire Jesus? Please tell me you admire Jesus. Yeah. Amen. You love him. You admire him. You want to be like him. Hallelujah. It's awesome. The things he did, the things he said things no one else could say. How did he say that? He did things that nobody else could do. How did he do that? We will never do what Jesus did until we live where Jesus lives. This is the key to everything. God just put this little key in my heart. And he said, JP, this is the key that unlocks it all. Jesus No one had seen God, but the only begotten Son, who is where? In the bosom. Bosom means heart. In the heart of the Father, he has declared him. Where was Jesus' home? In the Father. That's the key word for today, home. That's the key word for life, home. He was so confident because he was at home. He was fearless because he was at home. He was sure of himself because he was at home. There is nothing, it says, he has declared him. There was nothing that Jesus did, nothing that Jesus said, nowhere that Jesus did not go where he was not home. How many of you love home? Home is where the heart is. I love that saying. There's got to be a card somewhere. I don't know if that's in the Bible. I don't think that's in the Bible, but it's true. Home is where the heart is. You can have the biggest home, you can have the fanciest physical home, and you can feel alone. Right? You can be in the most happy environment. Anybody been to an amusement park and felt terrible? I mean, maybe that's just a parent thing. I don't know. But you can be surrounded by things that look happy, but you can feel broken, right? Happiness, home, is truly, if we're really honest, is not a physical location. Home is where your heart lives. That's why you can be super rich and be miserable. I've ministered in the slum, the most slum parts of Africa, and I've seen people have more of a genuine smile than I've seen, and I've ministered in Silicon Valley in San Jose. How is that possible? Because all the things the world tells us is if you gain a certain amount of power, prestige, and success, you will attain a sense of wholeness, a sense of belonging, a sense of satisfaction. How is it that none of these things truly satisfy? How is it that none of these things truly make us like Jesus? Because Jesus transcended the power of a physical location, and he lived in the Father. He lived in the Father no matter where he went. That's why he, imagine having the love, the assurance, the peace, the protection, the confidence of the Father and your Father being God. Hello? Not a man that he should lie, not a man who is limited, not a man who could come and go, but an ever-present, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent Father who could not be stopped and could not leave him. Imagine living your life on earth in that environment. Amen. That's home. That's not only home for Jesus, that's home for us. No one can rip you out of there but yourself. Hallelujah. No bad relationship, no broken, this is the power of God as a father. No matter who your natural father was or wasn't to you, that has no effect on living in your Father's bosom. Zero. That place belongs to you. Practical example, I have 5 kids, I have 5 spaces. Maybe 5 other kids walk into the room, I don't know them. But I know my 5. Victoria, Peter, Hosanna, Zion, Judah. They all have a cavity in my heart. Hallelujah. No one can fill it but them. No one can substitute but them. They belong in here. I know when they're there. I know what they need. I mean, I try. Okay. You know, I'm learning. No one will protect them like I want to. No one will stand up for them like I want to. Why? Because they are not foreign to me. They are in my heart. They have a place. They have a position. They have a location that is a real location. And if they're hurting, they are broken, they are needy, that location starts throbbing. That makes sense? Make real practical today. The gospel is very practical. It's powerful and practical. Yep. It's simple and profound. There is a place in your Father's heart for you that no one else can fill. There is a spot in the Father's bosom that Jesus had that you also have. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place that where I, you may be. They didn't kind of get it at the moment. They're like, we always think of some mansion on the cloud. Your place is already there. Don't wait for it. If you wait for it, you will never live it. If you never live it, you will experience the results of that. I go to prepare a place for you. See, Jesus lived in his place. And that's what made him Jesus. No one could take it. No one could steal it. No one could compete with it. He was secure. He was loved. He was at peace. No matter what, do you imagine somebody walking up to you and saying, you are Beelzebub? You are the devil. Maybe that's happened to you. We say stupid things to each other. That happened to Jesus all the time. The accusations, the words, all the different things that were spoken to him. How did he stay so confident? Because his place was not in man. It was not in a culture. It was not in a system. His place was in the Father. And it was the highest place that he could live. No one could shake him out of it. And I think he wept when he saw the depravity of humanity treating one another, treating him, treating God with such brokenness. I think it broke his heart. That's why he came to restore a relationship back to the Father. So people did not have a place. They had their place. Yeah. I don't know how he fits everybody in the heart, but he does. He's got a big heart. All these people in China and all the people in Bedford, all the people in Pittsburgh. He knows their name. He knows who they are. How does he do it? I don't know. He does. And when you begin and I begin to have the perspective of the Father, when we begin to abide in the Father, we begin to experience this kind of thinking, this kind of action. It heals us. Anybody need healing? Yeah. Anybody need confidence? Anybody need peace? You have a place where all of that is, and nothing can shake you out of it. The only thing that the enemy can do is deceive you that you don't belong, that you're not there, you don't have it, that it's based on your works, it's based on you, it's not based on us, it's based on Jesus. But the relationship is based on our love and relationship with the Father. We have access, but we need to take it. We need to let him be a father to us. We need to live in that place. We need to own that place that's been given. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Jesus lived at home in everything he did and at every moment of his life. Man says what people say, a man's house is his castle. Maybe they still say that anymore, I don't know. But I always thought that was a cool saying. But what this is saying is you can leave your castle and still be at home. You can go anywhere in the world that God calls you to go and you can be at home. In America, I got to spend some time with Miles Monroe. Anybody know who that is? He really spoke into my life on some major things. And one of the things he really imparted was, he said, Americans have a difficult time with the kingdom because we rebelled against a kingdom that was not good. England, hello, nobody British, you're British in here? Yeah. I have some great British friends. They don't condone what they did either, but the point is that we rebelled against an unlawful presence of a kingdom in our life. And there's a deep root in our nations of democracy, which is not necessarily a kingdom idea. And that causes us to be a very self-efficient, self-dependent, self-reliant, where it's hard for our hearts to open up to the fact that there is a kingdom and there's a good father that rules the kingdom and we have a part in that. What was Jesus's prayer, right? Let your kingdom, let your will be on earth as it is in heaven. It's difficult for us in the culture that we're around to sometimes receive that because we don't really know what a kingdom is. Because we're used to self-reliance and self-efficiency when we were created to be fathered. It doesn't mean we're not created to do anything. It's created, but we're created to be dependent on him like Jesus was. And that causes the power of God to be moving in our life. And we don't feel alone. We don't feel like we don't have a place. We recognize that I am a child of God. I am a son and daughter in the kingdom. I'm not really an American citizen first. I am a son in the kingdom. Sent to America. That's like a happy word. Yay, but it's a reality. It really is true. And when our identity and our heart is, and our, we're found in our place, we begin to live like a kingdom child, like a kingdom son, like a kingdom daughter. And we begin to, Jesus like uprooted all kinds of cultural things. Did he not? He shifted and shook things into their place. Are you happy with everything that's out here? Is there more? There is so much more. But the way that more is realized is not just fixing everything, it's here. It's getting this identity rooted that I belong. My home is not in the world. My home is in the kingdom. My home is in the Father. The Bible has like a really awesome theme through and through, from exile to homecoming, exile to homecoming. The children of Israel, come home, come to the promised land. It's not just like religion, it's a real place. It's where we were meant to be. There's so many exhortations in the Word about getting out of Egypt. It's like, dude, I don't live in Cairo, Lord. Egypt is not a location in Scripture. It's a symbol of the world system. Mm-hmm. Come out. A good father says, come out of systems that try to replace me. Systems, thoughts, traditions that are not mine. Come into my system. Come into my arms. Come into my house. Come into your place in my house and live. Move and have your being. Come home. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I tell people that go on mission trips, because I've been on a lot of them, and I've learned this the hard way, and I pray that generations learn it quicker. The people that we work with, like, oh, hope you get. The greatest journeys are never on an airplane. There's 16 inches between here and here. I don't think mine is 16 inches. I'm short. 12. The greatest journeys you will ever take are not to another country. The greatest journeys are within yourself. True? Making the transition to the kingdom. You are, be transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your. This has to get into here. What we know is right, what we know is pure, has to become our reality. That takes a father. Why? Because the word Father is the word source.
Is the what?
Source. In Hebrew, the word Father is Abba, which we know. The word Abba comes from Abba. It's a word of a baby to his father. It's not something difficult to understand. They actually took the word based on the sounds that a child would make in their beginning moments. So the word Father is Abba, which is the first sounds that a child would make in a love and an affection to his father or her father. And the Hebrew took that. The Hebrew is very personal. And we miss a lot of that in Scripture. It's very personal. And that whole idea was that Abba is my source. Repent, which means change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Those the heart and the mind change to the source, we experience the kingdom. Not from the outside in, but from the inside out. That's lasting change. When this is unlocked, oh boy. You ever hear of the line, I'm afraid to give my whole heart? Yeah. Ever felt that way? Why do we do that? We fear. We fear disappointment. We fear failure. We fear rejection. We fear that the one who's receiving it will not receive. Jesus came to say, give it all. It's safe. It's God is good. Give your whole heart. Lean your whole heart on him. You will not be disappointed. Amen. Go to Psalm 139 with me. This has become one of my favorites. Psalm 139. And please know that I'm not standing up here with my whole act together and understand all of this, but I'm encountering it. I'm experiencing it more every day. And I will not relent. I will not stop because I have an open invitation. I have a Holy Spirit that is the promise of the Father spurring me on to grow in him. And we all have that. Perfect love casts out. You were born for perfect love. Please do not settle for less. Can I say that again?
Yes.
You were born and created and designed to be perfectly loved. Do not give up on that dream. Do not give up on that hope. It's easy to do that in our world. The key is you will not find it in the world, and you will not find it in people. You will give it to people. You will find it in the Father. Always find it in the Father. Awesome. Amen. Know where you need to go to get it. But don't give up on it. Because a part of your heart will die if you do. I don't want that to die. Pastor John and Kim do not want that to die. Because you were created for it. Jeez, that would be a tragedy. On Father's Day. Psalm 139. Oh. Verse 13. For you did form. You did form my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. If you're taking notes, please write this down. You were created in the heart of the Father before you were created in your mother's womb. Easy to say, a lifetime of discovery. You were created in your father's heart before you were created in your mother's womb. How old are you? I don't have time to get into it. Please read Ephesians chapter 1, and you'll find the answer to that. I promise you, you are much older. Sorry. But it's a good older. You are much older than you think. You have been thought about, dreamed about, cared about much longer than your physical mind is able to comprehend. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You have had a father that predates your physical conception. Why? Because you're not only a physical being, you're a spirit. Yeah. That's why we always want, that's why we watch the Avengers, because we know there's something better in us. There's something higher, there's something greater. All right, verse 13, you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you. For you are fearfully and you are fearful and wonderful, and for the wonder of my birth. Wonderful are your works, and my inner self knows very well. A lot of versions say soul. My soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret. Intricately and curiously formed. I'm using the Amplified. I love the Amplified. I do. As if embroidered with various colors. Embroidered, like weaved.
Yep.
Weaved. In the very depths of the earth, your eyes, Father's eyes. Dads, remember that moment? You see your kiddos? Moms, bless you. Moms, we have such a more easier time in that moment than you guys do. I think that comes a little later for the moms, but it's not any less special. The eyes, okay? The eyes. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. And in your book, all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet there was none of them. How precious and weighty are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awoke, I would still be with you. You can quickly go through these verses, or you can actually read them. And you can believe, because they're true, that they actually happened. And that this actually happened to you when the Father created you. Not when he did an assembly line and said, next, next, next. Time. Intricacy, beauty. Dreams, visions, hopes. Weaved, embroidered into you. I love this where it says about the book. Because The Father's book has you in it, and it has pages of you in it. And he wrote them about you before you knew you. But he knew you because he is your Father. And he sent, and I love this, I always like, the Holy Spirit, man, the Holy Spirit makes me feel good. The Holy Spirit makes me empowered. The Holy Spirit, you know, there's so many things the Holy Spirit does. But I remember when God gave me this and he said, JP, this is the promise of the Father, is the Spirit. And the Spirit knows your pages. I have pages and they're written and I'm designed to live in them. This is the fathering of God. This is like, okay, I know I have a Father. I know he's good. I sing the song. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. This is the next step. Okay, I know you're good. I know you're there. And maybe for some of us here, that's where we are, and that's wonderful. Some of us, maybe we understand that, and we're going deeper. This is the next step, and that is the fact that you have been given the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, to walk, live, and have victory in life, but you also have been given the Holy Spirit because the Bible says, the Word says, those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. What, that never made sense, you know, really. It's like, okay, yay, you know, like, and it means mature son. Those that are led by the Spirit. So that means I talk in tongues all the time? Does that mean I prophesy all the time? Does that mean, you know, I have the fruit of the Spirit in my life all the time? Yes, it means that those things happen, but it means is that I'm being led intentionally by the Father through the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit was there at my conception. Who? It's not just a feeling. It's not just somebody to help me do good. He knows who I am. He's reading the pages. And when I ask God, let me be led by your Spirit. Let me know what you know. All of a sudden, those pages come alive to me. And I no longer live by trial and error. I live by divine design. What design am I living by? I'm living by the design that my Father made for me. Oh. How much of those pages do we live by? We live by our own stupid writing. We live by other people's opinions. Hello. We live by culture's pages. We live by our traditions pages. The Bible says the word of the traditions of man make the word of God of no effect. Well, what word is that? It's this word, but it's also the Father's word over you. Because those traditions go against an intentional plan and purpose that was in your Father's heart before you were conceived on the earth. That you were designed to live and walk and move in. You never live random. You should never just follow the crowd. We know that, but why? Because you have a Father who's trying to father you. Amen. Trying to father you in what? In his plan that he has so intricately put together. And he said, how will they know the plan? How will they know the plan? The power of the Holy Spirit will come into their life and they will hear my voice. They will follow my will. And all of a sudden, those pages that are written about us begin to happen. I'm tired of living in the permissible will of God. And the day that you become tired of that, it will be a great day too. Maybe you already are. Hallelujah. Please do not live in the permissible will of God. Live in the perfect will of God. How do you do that? By humbling your heart and saying, God, I want to know what you say. So that we will know. Those who are led by the Spirit. No one can do that but you. But we have a Father who's here today who says, please, I got the best plan. I've worked on it for a long time. Don't follow it. Like I was like, man, God, I remember when I read that and God gave me that word. I just repented immediately. I was like, God, I've like followed you like 5%. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Help me to step in to what you've already planned. You're not up in heaven going like this. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? It's already made. But it's relationship. Yeah. We walk with him into it. It's not about how long we've been going to heaven. This is going to kick religion in the rear end right now. Is that okay? It's not about how long we've been going to heaven. It's not how long we've been a Christian. It's not just putting in our time. But it's how we've grown as sons and daughters in our home environment. It's no different than my kids growing up and fulfilling their destiny. No different. Don't think of it as a complicated thing. It's not them just sitting in the house, just, okay, when am I going to leave? When am I going to leave? I think we do that to God. It's not about, that's not the measuring stick we need. The measuring stick is that we are sons and daughters growing up in our Father's house. How much have we experienced it? How much are we growing in it? How much are we transforming the world through living in that place? Would I be a good father if they did not be raised and become who they are? Would you call me a good dad? No. God is a good dad. We just don't cooperate. We don't understand him as a father. We know that word, but we don't understand the heart. Why we have the Spirit, why we have these promises, why we have this call, why all the answers to the world's issues are in the church. It's the God doesn't dream for a better future, he raises it. He raises it up within his kids. He raises it, Pastor Kim, up in for China for such a time as this. He knew those pages were in there, and she allowed him to raise that up in her, which is changing that part of the world. We all have those intricate things. The problem is that we just need to be raised up within them. It's not that they're not there. But the concept of a distant, absent father, which is many times portrayed in our society, is what causes us to have a blockage from seeing God as a good, present father trying to raise us in his will. Who are you? What does he say? What is in his pages for you? Are you reading them? Do you want to read them? Are you afraid to read them? Please don't be. God will challenge us, but he challenges us because he loves us and he knows what's in the pages. And he wants us to fulfill them because he knows that it'll make us full of who we are. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Almost done. Malachi 4. I have to finish with this one. I don't have to. I want to. It's the last verse in the Old Testament, but it is a promise that is and yet to be fully seen. Verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, which is yet to come. And he shall turn, what shall he do? He shall turn the hearts of the, in Amplified it says, estranged fathers to the ungodly children. We could just say, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Lest a curse come, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. Anytime I see the word curse in the Bible, I don't want that. And what this is saying is that this very heart of God, when it gets into us, transforms the world around us, and it causes not a curse but a blessing to fall on the land. But how can you give what you don't receive? Right? How can we love a generation? How can a generation love us? How can that all love go back to God when we still don't know deeply the love of our Father? That has to come. And when that comes, then this promise becomes on the land, and we love our children. Our children love us. And this is not gender-based.
Yes, that's right.
Okay? This is one generation, one people turning their hearts to one that's coming forth and saying, I want the very best for them. And I will not stop fighting, believing, and standing for that. And if that causes change for me, if I have to make personal changes, then I will do that for the sake of them. And I want to just tell you, as I close, the story of my dad, who is my inspiration for that word and why we carry that so strong. My father, I was an only child. I was, my parents were married later in life. And they struggled for many years to have a child. And my mom had 7 major surgeries for a chance to have a full-term child. She did all of that, went through all that, find out that she was going to have a son. And obviously my dad was like, yay, I'm gonna have a son. And then, I'm gonna have a son. And the pain of his childhood rushed into his present. And what was that pain? My grandfather was verbally abusive to my father from his birth, showed no affection, no affirmation. I love my grandfather. My grandfather got saved 7 days before he died, the grace of God. But it produced a deep, deep brokenness in my father that he carried. Sometimes you're not even aware. You think it's normal to have a bad dad. You think it's normal to be put down. You think it's normal. It's not normal. Amen? It's not. God doesn't do it. If God doesn't do it, it's not normal. But for him, and what I ended up finding out, for consecutive generations prior to that, it was definitely something that was in our family. This continued from father to son, father to son, father to son. And my dad felt the love of God to have a son, but he also felt this fear that, what will I do to my son? Will I do the same thing? Will I say the same things? Will I perpetuate a problem? Will I perpetuate, as Malachi 4, he didn't know this at the time, a curse? Because it is. Fatherlessness is a curse. It was actually determined the number one cause of societal pain is fatherlessness. The root of it. And it just drove him. He had this torment all when my mom was pregnant. He had this torment. And 3 months before, he said, I can't take it anymore. He went into his garage. Praise God, men, we go into our garage. Amen. God speaks to us. And he went in and he got on his knees. He told me this when I was 30 years old and I was already a father of 4, which I did appreciate because I didn't understand. I don't know if I could have appreciated it earlier in my life. He got down on his knees. And for any man to do this, I admire. Humility is some of the hardest things for guys to do. Because we want to be strong, we want to be tough, but we realize we have to be sons before we become fathers. And this was a place of sonship. I am in a place of need. I'm about to be blessed, but I don't know how to facilitate the blessing I'm about to receive. His heart cried out to God. He lifted up his hands. He cried out to God. He said, God, and I'll never forget this. He said, God, I have heard you are a father. He didn't even know.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about No, I'm not talking about hearing like in a message. I'm hearing like knowing. I've heard you are a father, and I'm about to be a father. I've met a lot of amazing men the years of ministry I've been in, but I admire my dad's courage in this moment because I've seen so few men willing to do this. I've heard you are a father to me. I am about to become a son. I'm about to have a son. And I can't wait, but I am so afraid because I don't know how to give him the love that he deserves. And he lifted up his hands and he said, "Will you give me your love for my son? Because I don't know what it's like." Gentlemen, God will answer that prayer every time we pray. Ladies, God will answer that prayer every time we pray. Will you give me your love to come through me to him? God healed him. He felt the love of God for the first time in his life. He forgave my grandfather, which was not an easy thing to do. And every morning when I woke up, he would say, "I love you, son. I love you, son." The words that he never heard his father say. And it wasn't just the words, it was the way he said it. It was what was in here as he said it. It was not just the words, it was the actions behind the words. Relentlessly, every day, and I didn't know. And being stupid and early millennial, I was just very narcissistic, and I thought, oh yeah, took it for granted. Not realizing the depth of what that word had to come from somewhere. That love had to come from a place. Hello. And that place was not given to him by his dad, natural dad. It was given by him. But it was given. And a curse was broken in my family. And I have been able to, I knew, so when God came to me and revealed himself as a father, I could see that example in my father. And I said, yeah, I want that. I want them to have that. So there's two generations now that have not ever experienced that. My dad was my biggest promoter. Gave almost his entire natural wealth, which by American standards wasn't a lot, but for him, he worked so hard for it. Gave it all so that I could go to the nations. And he went to be with Jesus while I was in a field in Zambia preaching the gospel in 2013. And I remember wrestling with God. I was like, God, my dad was there for me all these years, and now I failed him because I wasn't there for him. And I wrestled with God, and he said, son, you were doing exactly what your father wanted you to do. He didn't want you by his bedside. He paid the price that you could go. And I told the pastors this story yesterday. That was my most fruitful day of ministry ever, was that day that my father died, and I preached that message in the middle of the jungle. Took a 45-hour journey to get out of the jungle to come back home and do my father's homecoming service. And out of that service, the Lord said, I want you to start iloveyousun.org because I want people to know how much I love them, sons and daughters, and I want parents to give that love to their children. I want people to give that love for the community. I would not be here. I would be a statistic without my dad getting on his knees when I had no say in the matter. The power of a father. This stuff really matters. The father's heart is a real place. And as we are healed, we give it, we share it. And the world is changed from the inside out. Let's just close our eyes this morning.
The world is waiting for Papa. And he's there. And we have the glorious privilege of having access to our place in his heart now. But man, does the enemy fight us finding it. Man, does he fight. He comes with lies and accusations and feelings of unworthiness and fear. But today's a new day. Today's the day. This is Father's Day. At Axe Church in Bedford, Pennsylvania. This is Father's Day. And the blinders are taken off. Jesus said the scales will fall from our eyes and we will see him as he is. The Holy Spirit will fall and will fill us and we will know who we are and where we come from. Our lives will go from nothingness to everything. The transformation is amazing because we've returned home to our Father. We return to where we belong. I don't know if we can sing that one song. The Abba. Yeah. If you want to stand, if you want to sit, if you want to kneel, however you can receive, I believe God's just going to deposit something very special within. And it will leave a mark that we will never forget. It will minister to us in the deepest place.